Let's talk about net neutrality again. Cryptocurrency updates and cell phone tracking without a warrant. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morris and this is ThreatWire for December 5th, 2017, your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. I am back and our Patreon account is over at patreon.com/threatwire, and that is the best way to support the show and it'll help us reach our next goal. And now, on to the news. First off, I want to give a big shout out over to Michael, Decimatrix, and Lawrence for sharing their top security stories over on Patreon Community tab. Our first story this week is on, you guessed it, net neutrality. Now, I have already gone over the history of net neutrality and followed the regulations for several years on ThreatWire, so I'm not going to bore you to death again with the same details, but what I am focusing on today is the future. So on November 21st, the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, announced plans to deregulate the broadband industry and do away with net neutrality rules via a December 14th vote. It's coming up pretty soon. Now, we have been hearing about this for quite some time, and FCC Chairman Ajit Pai wants to declassify those ISPs from common carriers. So declassifying ISPs would also justify eliminating net neutrality. And it would do away with consumer protections that we have grown to love, such as privacy protections, network construction, disclosure of hidden fees and data caps, competition in rural or less populated areas, and a lot more. So it is not just net neutrality that we are so adamant about, but the declassification of ISPs in general. And I truly hope that this part is very, very clear. Now, since ISPs would no longer be regulated under Title II of the Communications Act, which I do implore my listeners to read, even though it is rather long, that means that the ISPs would have a much broader authority without the FCC supervision. But let's take it full circle, back to net neutrality. Although an analysis found that 98.5% of unique comments on the FCC's public comment form over the summer were against the repeal, Pai's statement from the 21st says that, quote, "The FCC would simply require internet service providers to be transparent about their practices so that consumers can buy the service plan that's best for them, and entrepreneurs and other small businesses can have the technical information they need to innovate." He continues, quote, "The Federal Trade Commission will once again be able to police ISPs, protect consumers, and promote competition, just as it did before 2015. I look forward to returning the light touch, market-based framework that unleashed the digital resolution and benefited consumers here and around the world." The FCC's proposal would make ISPs have to disclose blocking, throttling, or paid prioritization, all of which ISPs would legally be able to do. On a side note, the FCC will also not allow states to have net neutrality rules either. Now, it sounds like he's all for the consumers, but has net neutrality actually impeded ISP growth, as he quotes? According to an analysis by FreePress.net, companies like Comcast, Charter Communications, and Verizon have all seen more investing since 2015, and ISPs such as AT&T, Comcast, and Charter have all stated that Title II has not impacted their growth. Huh. Interesting. Data cited by Pai himself seems to have some discrepancies that he has used as traction for the FCC vote. Now, while deregulating ISPs would give the FTC the ability to prevent some practices, the ISPs would be permitted to choose their own terms of service and abide by them, i.e., they could create paid lanes, and as long as it was in their terms of service as such, it would be allowed. And while the FCC has the ability to create and regulate rules, the FTC, for the most part, can only regulate. Now, while the FTC can ensure regulation, some companies have already made silent changes as the FCC has made net neutrality announcements over the past year. Comcast has previously stated that they would not, quote, prioritize internet traffic or create paid fast lanes, but as of April 26th, which was just so happens to be the day Ajit Pai announced plans to eliminate net neutrality, their net neutrality webpage no longer includes any information about paid fast lanes. Huh, also interesting. Comcast continues to state that they have no plans to create paid prioritization lanes for websites. Now, while some outlets will have you believe that the FCC is not trying to change much, and others will leave you thinking that deregulation will positively impact consumers, and other outlets, like my own, I know, will leave you thinking that deregulation will create privacy and censorship problems, the real answer lies in the documented evidence from several years of legislation and previous ISP actions, we've seen plenty of them, and the documents pertaining to PIs, quote, Restoring Internet Freedom rulings. And that is the name, Restoring Internet Freedom. Because there is a lot of hearsay on the matter, I have left the original documents for the December vote down below in the comments. It is a long read, but it is worth it. The IRS served a summons to Coinbase Inc. to gain records on almost all of Coinbase's users about virtual currency profits. Coinbase did not comply, so the United States District Court got involved and made the IRS narrow its summons to little more than 10,000 Coinbase users, all of which they want data on for unpaid federal taxes. These records include taxpayer ID number, names, birth dates, addresses, and account activity for anyone who's bought, sent, sold, or received more than $20,000 USD in one transaction type in Bitcoin between 2013 and 2015. According to a Coinbase audit, 6,200 of those had garnered less than $60,000 in transactions, and according to the IRS, only 800 to 900 have claimed these on their tax filings. Now, according to U.S. law, Bitcoin is considered a property and capital gains tax should be paid for profits on these. As such, Coinbase has proposed sending 1099B tax forms, which in the U.S. are just simply tax forms, to their customers and the IRS at the end of each year for easier reporting. The U.S. court decided to order Coinbase to give up the data on those plus 14,000 users, but Coinbase's response has not yet been made public. Alongside this is more news regarding cryptocurrency. Now, due to the huge hike in prices for Bitcoin and others, many sites have been using a simple JavaScript technique to mine Bitcoin from visitors' CPUs well after they leave a web page or close their web browser. Malwarebytes discovered the technique last week during a research study into the abuse of CoinHive, which is a service that allows websites and apps to do this while a web page is being used by a visitor, not necessarily after it is closed. Now, compromise sites use a pop-under hidden browser window that sits under a Windows user's taskbar, hidden behind the clock, down in the corner, of all places. You can view it by resizing your taskbar and checking CPU usage after visiting a website. The crypto miner is being hosted on Amazon's AWS service, and it calls similar code as CoinHive, though this new technique does not have a catchy name. The pop-under window that continues to mine cryptocurrency from your CPU bypasses ad blockers, but it can be caught by running Task Manager and looking for open browser windows by moving your taskbar or by right-clicking and closing all browser windows from your browser icon. Some antivirus programs may also block miners as well as browser extensions such as NoCoin, so you do have a few options. Last week, the Supreme Court heard arguments about a case called Carpenter versus United States, where two men named Carpenter and Sanders were convicted of robbing Radio Shack and T-Mobile stores way back in 2011. They were convicted in 2013. The FBI wanted access to their cell phone information and requested the data under the Stored Communications Act instead of going through a warrant under the Fourth Amendment. They also wanted 127 days worth of data on the two men, which would allow them to see precise coordinations of their location over 4 months. An ACLU lawyer explained on Wednesday that the information requires a warrant, while the Justice Department Deputy Solicitor General argued that cell phone providers are like witnesses to a crime. Under the so-called third-party doctrine, citizens forfeit their expectation of privacy whenever they hand over information to a third party, like a cell phone provider, a bank, or even an ISP. According to a 1979 Supreme Court case, police do not need a warrant to obtain that kind of information from a company. But with the change in technology, lawyers argue that if the court ruled in favor of the FBI, they could end up collecting more sensitive data in the near future, including but not limited to Internet of Things collection from Internet of Things devices in your house, app data, web browsing history, and medical information, just to name a few, without a warrant. Now, the outcome of this case is expected next year. Thank you again to all the wonderful people out there who contribute to patreon.com/threatwire. You are the reason that we can keep on bringing you news every single week. We are on the way to our next goal, which allows me to upgrade some of our equipment for this set, as well as open up a live video Q&A just for patrons each and every month. If you are already a patron, you got to see a little behind the scenes video from me earlier this week with a studio upgrade. So thank you so much for your support. It's because of you guys that we were able to do that studio upgrade. Any little bit helps us to grow the show, and in return, you will always get access to a bunch of extras over on Patreon. We might even feature your adorable fur baby in an upcoming episode, just like these brand new ones. I have got a slew of new fur baby pictures that I can't wait to show off, so stay tuned for next week as well. Check out the perk levels on Patreon, and thanks again for helping us keep the show completely independent and ad-free. And of course, if you cannot donate, you can hit that subscribe button or share this episode on your favorite social media page. And with that, I am Shannon Morris, and I will see you on the internet. Yeah.